Let's get back into the Word of God. We're talking about on our Wednesday services, we're talking about the fundamentals of divine provision. And our base text is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. If you are just joining us, if you haven't been with us for a few weeks, I'm going to encourage you to please go back. All of these recordings are on our podcast, they're on the website, they're on our different platforms. Please go back and listen to some of the things that have been ministered before, even though every week, excuse me, I try to do a little bit of a recap. But such little time that I devote to it, considering all of the materials that have already been shared. So let's get into the Word of God tonight. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And this is Paul writing to the church in Philippi. He says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Can we all say that together? My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We've already established Paul was writing this letter from prison, but even though he was writing from prison in very unfavorable circumstances, we also know he was writing from a place of abundance. He was writing from a place of sufficiency. Excuse me, he said in the previous verse, he says, "I have all and I abound." I have all and I abound. He says in the Amplified, "I have everything I need. I have everything I need. And I am amply supplied." And even though he's in prison, the Lord is supplying his needs. So no matter what our situations are, I know the current situations around the country and around the world, for a lot of people might feel like prison. There are obviously a lot of hindrances, a lot of inhibitions, things that we used to be able to do before that we can't readily do now. Even if we have the liberties to do it, we just, out of safety for ourselves, for our loved ones, and for other people, choose not to do a lot of those things. So for many people, it might feel like some inhibition, some prison. But the Bible says, even in the prison, now we know from reading the story of Joseph last week, the Lord met the needs of Joseph and his entire family in the palace. God prepared for several years before the famine happened in the land, and the Lord met their needs. But even in the prison, we found out the Lord will meet our needs. My God shall. And like the psalmist said in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Amen. Now, we've learned a few things already. We've established a few things. Divine provision is a journey. It's not an event. It's a journey of faith. And it is based on a relationship with Jehovah God, with El Shaddai, with Jehovah Jireh. It is not based on a formula. Sometimes we think of divine provision as a formula. Like, if I do this, then I'll get this. If I do that, if I say this, I'll get this. If I say this so many times, I'll get it. And yeah, there's a place for confession. Jesus is the high priest over our profession, the Bible says in the Hebrews. There is certainly faith. Faith manifests itself not just in what we believe in our heart, but also in what we declare with our mouths, what we confess. So there is certain, and of course, in corresponding action, the steps that we take. So yeah, there is a place for confession, but divine provision is really a journey. It's not just what it's not based on just what we, get up and confess 10 times, 100 times, and you can say it 100 times, but if you are not really walking on that journey, you still defeat the purposes of God, and you can't really achieve and enter into the life of blessing that the Lord has for you. So divine provision is a journey, not an event. God wants us to live a blessed life. You might need a miracle right now. I know that last week after the service, we received, one of the prayer points we received was for someone who needed an immediate breakthrough. And if you're online, I know that one of our ministers did respond and minister to you. Praise God. But I just want to speak to people. If you might need a breakthrough, you might need a miracle, you might need something. Yeah, God is a God of miracles. And the Lord, that's part of why he's sending us this word. I want you to keep faith alive in your heart. I want you to keep expecting, keep believing. And even though divine provision is a journey, not an event, if you are joining us on this journey, and if you are committing to this journey, the Lord can give you a miracle even at the beginning of this journey in your own life. The Lord can open doors for you. Now, he's going to do it in his own way. He's not going to do it based on what you think, based on who you know, based on how many calls you make and all of that. The Lord is a God of miracles. So I declare in the name of Jesus tonight for everyone who needs a miracle, everyone who needs a breakthrough, someone who needs a job, someone who needs a raise, someone who needs to be able to pay a bill that is pending and something really terrible could happen if you can't pay that bill. I pray that in the name of Jesus, you receive the provision you need, that you receive the favor that you need, that the heavens are open over you, even through the word of God, and that need is met in your life in Jesus' mighty name. All right. So divine provision is a journey, not an event. It's a journey that involves faithfulness, obedience, trust, generosity, diligence, wisdom, faith, and on like that. God wants to walk with us and take us to the land that he has prepared. He is our good shepherd. He's not a magician. He's not a vending machine. He's our good shepherd. And as we walk with him, as we follow wherever he leads, and as we take steps that he directs us to take, the Lord himself will supernaturally take us to that land that is flowing with milk and honey. I know we've learned a lot of that already. So let's not spend a lot of time on that. Last week, we looked at two scriptures in the Psalms. We looked at Psalm 37 and verse 25, where David was writing and he says, I've been young and now I am old and have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed beg for bread. We established that this journey is a transgenerational journey. The seeds and the blessings that the Lord pours upon our lives will outlast us. They will outlive us. God doesn't just want to bless us. If you look in the Old Testament, you see, he talks about he's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God. He doesn't just want to bless us in our generation. God wants to bless our seeds after us. This is one of the reasons why this series of messages are so important. They take the notion, the principle, the covenant of divine provision beyond even just our own times, beyond just today, beyond just the next 5 years, beyond just the next 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years, if the Lord tarries, is coming, but even to the generations coming behind us. I already know for every one of God's people that is walking in covenant relationship with him, that is walking according to these principles that we're learning in the Word of God, your seeds will not lack. Your seeds will not suffer want. David said that. He says in Psalm 37, verse 25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. So these blessings, this covenant is a transgenerational covenant. And also in Psalm 34 and verse 10, David said, even the young lions, they do go hungry. He says, but they that seek the Lord will not want for any good thing. Psalm 34 verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. I think it's the New Living Translation, the NLT, that says even the strong young lions, they sometimes go hungry. That means even when you are strong, you are agile, you have abilities, you have connections, you have qualifications, you have natural graces and all of that. Nothing wrong with all of that. But even all of that cannot guarantee the eternal transgenerational covenant of provision that the Lord wants to make available to you and to me. Amen. It's those that seek the Lord. It's those that walk with the Lord that walk in the fullness of this blessing. So that's really powerful. That's really, really powerful. That it's not, you know, you may have channels. You may have a good job. Praise God for good jobs. You may have a great retirement. Praise God for your great retirement. That's a blessing. That's awesome. You may have investments. That's wonderful. You may have real estate. You may have things that bring you dividends and awesome. You may not have all of that. You may just have someone or people in your life that furnish the needs that you have in your life. Praise God. That's awesome. That's great. But even in spite of all of that, we are still not guaranteed. We're not guaranteed the blessings of divine provision just because we have all of that in our lives. The only thing that guarantees the blessings of divine provision is that we are walking on this journey with the Lord. Now, last week, we went all the way back and we were in Genesis 45. You remember? And in Genesis 45, we read about Joseph welcoming his brothers and his family into Goshen. Goshen was a place that had been prepared. The Lord had prepared this Goshen for years and years and years, long before the time of need came. I know I read something to you last week. I'm going to read it to you one more time. I know I'm going to read it further when I go in, as I go forward later on in other teachings when we read some particular scriptures. But God commanded, this is important that we have this understanding. Long before we arrive at our need, God already commanded provision. Wherever you are today, if you've been walking with the Lord, I don't care how long, how short, the last 2 months, the last 1 year, the last 10, 15 years, if you've been actively walking in this covenant with Jehovah God, long before you got to today, He commanded your provision. The Lord commanded your provision. So, yeah, things may get tight. Things may be different around the world, may be different for a lot of people. Even around your own circumstances, things may be different. But the Lord already commanded your provision. The channels He uses to bless you may be different. But the Lord already commanded your provision. Amen. So long, God commanded your provision long before you arrived at your need. You just need to follow His directions to where your blessings are already waiting. Now, this is what we see with Joseph and the children of Israel, right? So I'm going to read a few verses from Genesis 45, and then I'm going to read something directly to you from my notes here. Genesis 45 and verse 5. Joseph said to his brothers, "Now therefore, don't be angry or grieved with yourselves that you sold me here, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are still 5 years, in the which there will be no sowing or harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here, but God. And He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. And now He says, hasten and go up to my father and say to him, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me now, tarry not. And you will dwell in the land of Goshen. You will be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. And there, watch this, there will I nourish you, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty." Look, that's exactly what I was just saying. Long before that famine took place in that land, God commanded provision for the entire family of Joseph because of His covenant with him, because of His covenant with his father, Jacob. Because of his covenant with his grandfather, his great-grandfather, Abraham. God already commanded provision. And you see it there. Joseph is saying to his brothers, "God has made me Lord." I really love that. "God has made me Lord over the house of Egypt." Do you see that? The Lord has made me, he's made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord over all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Look at those three powerful things that the Lord arranged supernaturally to make Joseph. He made him a father to Pharaoh. You know what father means? Father just means someone who supplies. It means a progenitor. It means someone who produces. So, by the grace and the anointing of God upon the life of Joseph, God was producing. Even in the life of Pharaoh, even in the family of Pharaoh, God was producing. He made him a father to Pharaoh. Then he said, he's made me Lord. A Lord is someone who controls. He's someone who is in charge. And you know, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the Lord of the riches in heaven. So there is no austerity there. There is no recession there. There is no follow, no economic downturn there. And Jesus is the Lord. If Jesus is your brother as he is mine, and he's the Lord over the riches in glory, the riches in heaven, that means Jesus is going to furnish our needs. Amen? It means Jesus is going to provide everything we need in every season of our lives. That's exactly what the Lord made Joseph to that family. And then finally, he says, he's made me ruler. He says, he's made me ruler. I love that. He's made me ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. So he's the Lord over the storehouse, but he also has authority. He has jurisdiction over the entire land. He has control. He has control over everything that goes on in that land. Do you know that by virtue of your relationship, your divine covenant with Jehovah God, he's made you father, he's made you Lord, he's given you control? Yes, he has. And I know all of this may sound strange, but as we go along, you're going to see a lot of these things. That the Lord has put a lot of things under our jurisdiction. There are things that are within our control, we have access to the harvest. Hallelujah. You know, when we came into 2020, the Lord said, this is your year of harvest. Not just one harvest, but it's a harvest. And I know that sounds really strange. And I know many people will say, man, in the midst of this pandemic, harvest? Yes, harvest. In this pandemic, there are those who are going to move forward, and that better be you. That better include you. In this pandemic, there are those who are going to prosper. There are those who are going to get a raise. Do you know that? In this pandemic, there are those who are going to be given multiple offers of multiple jobs in this pandemic. Amen. Amen. There are those who are going to receive resources, income, blessings from numerous places in this pandemic. This is our year of harvest. There are those who are going to receive rewards of seeds that have been sown over the years. This is our year of harvest. This is our year of overflow. We're definitely seeing it. We're definitely hearing testimonies of this, even in the midst of the pandemic. So the Lord's made us father. The Lord's made us Lord. The Lord's made us ruler. He's given us control over things within our jurisdiction, even in the pandemic. He's causing the land to produce for us, even in the pandemic. Hallelujah. And God wants to keep us in that blessed zone. He wants to keep us in that blessed life. He wants to enable us to enjoy the riches and the blessings of heaven, even in the pandemic. Can somebody say amen to this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Joseph welcomed his brothers to the bubble in Goshen. I know towards the end of the service last Wednesday, the Lord burned this illustration in my heart, this analogy of the bubble, the NBA basketball bubble going on in Orlando right now. And I think I'm not sure if that's different now. I haven't really been following the news too much. But as of last week, over the last month, there have been no COVID-19 positive tests in that bubble. Amen. And the whole nation is going through its thing. The whole world is going through its thing. But that bubble is almost like a world that is different from the rest of the world. Well, that's what the Lord wants to do for his people. And somebody said, well, Pastor, I don't know. I mean, I don't know about that. You know, I mean, that makes sense for the MBA, but I don't know that that's something we can have. So you're trying to tell me the MBA actually has the MBA, the leaders of the MBA, they have more sovereignty than Jehovah God. The leaders and the commissioner, the MBA commissioner, the directors or the team owners and executives of the MBA, they have more resources, they have more sovereignty, they have more power, more authority than El Shaddai. Yeah, I hope that's not what you believe, because if that's what you believe, then your eyes need to be open to the truth, the revelation of the Word of God. Somebody say amen to this. Listen, I'm going to read this out to you from my notes. Goshen was the bubble God created for Joseph and his family. In the MBA bubble in Orlando, Florida, in the United States here, no COVID-19 positives in over a month. The entire nation and the world is dealing with COVID-19, but not the MBA in the bubble. No sickness or death or unemployment. Do you know there's no unemployment in that bubble? No. Everybody there is employed with good pay. No unemployment, no recession or layoffs. Do you know there are no layoffs in that bubble? All because somebody decided we're going to create this bubble. Well, let me tell you, long before they decided they were going to create a bubble in Orlando, God already created a Goshen bubble for you. As a child of God, God already created a Goshen bubble for you. Hallelujah. And in that Goshen bubble, the blessings of God are overflowing. God has a Goshen bubble for you where you'll be protected from all the adversity and all the famine that is going on in the world. There are more Goshen bubbles in your future. I just declare that to you right now. There are more Goshen bubbles in your future. Amen. And I'm saying that with extraordinary emphasis. That I want you to see what the Lord is ministering to us here today, not just in the light and in the context of this season, in the light and in the context of this moment. No, there's divine provision being created for so many of God's people right now for the next 5 years. Some of you, and I know I sense it so strongly, this is part of why the Lord had me put aside the original plan that we had for some of these times of ministering the word in the summer and instructed that we engage here with this message. God is already creating, and I'm praying for you that your ears will be open to it. You know, sometimes it's so easy for people to listen when they have a need. Many times when they are beset by circumstances, it's so easy for them to listen. Because then at that time, they have an emergency. They need a breakthrough. But most times when people don't have that major need, in a lot of what they hear, it just goes in one ear and goes out the other. Because for them, there's no major need. And that's so unfortunate. Because if Joseph and his brothers, especially Joseph, if Joseph had just floundered and just, you know, lived anyhow, while the Lord was creating the bubble in Goshen and taking him there, if he had just lived anyhow, not paid attention, not done what the Lord was commanding him, not taking steps that the Lord told him, that bubble would never have been a reality in his life or in his family, even though the bubble existed. So the Lord has Goshen bubbles in your future. Amen. These messages are not just for now. You may have just started taking these steps. You may have just started getting this understanding 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, or whenever it was you started joining these lessons, these services. Well, praise God. Welcome to your Goshen. Welcome to your Goshen. Because from here on, the rest of your life is going to be different from whatever you have experienced leading up to now. The Lord himself, El Shaddai, the Lord himself, Jehovah Jireh himself, is going to take you all the way. He's going to walk with you hand in hand, and take you to the land that is flowing with milk and honey. Can somebody say amen to this? Can somebody say a loud amen online? Praise God. Praise God. I want us to read a couple of verses here from Genesis 47. We just read from Genesis 45. Would you go over with me to Genesis 47? I want to read a few verses here. And there are two major things I want to point out to you here. We're still talking about the Goshen bubble. We're still talking about Goshen and what happened in Goshen. Now I want you to read these verses of the Bible with me, and let's read it together. I want you to see some very important things, a couple of things that are really important. Genesis 47, let's read from verse 1. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh, that's after his father arrived, and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen," at the land that God prepared for them. Verse 5, "And Pharaoh spoke unto Joseph, saying, Your father and your brethren are come unto you." Verse 6, "The land of Egypt is before you. In the best of the land, make your father and your brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen, let them dwell. And if you know any man of ability amongst them, then make them rulers over my cattle." I'm going to come back sometime to talk about this. This is not something I want to give a lot of my time to tonight. I want to show you two major things from a few verses here that we're reading in Genesis 47. But at some point later, when we talk about promotion and we talk about some of those things, I want to show you here how there was a general provision that's made for everybody in that family based on the covenant. There's a general provision. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "Yeah, welcome your father and welcome your brothers into the land of Egypt, into the land of Goshen. Welcome them, bring them in, settle them." And I like he said, "Settle them in the best part of the land." That's exactly what we're talking about. As in the word, God has the best part of the land for his people. But then he goes beyond that and he says, "If there are any people," that's what he said, "if you know any man of activity," the Amplified Bible says, "if you know any man, any men of ability, if you know any men of ability among them, put them in charge." Put them in charge. Oh, I love that so much. I love that so much. Because you're going to find out as we go that, yeah, there's the general promise, there's a general provision that is made for God's people. But God usually also singles out men and women of ability. The Bible, the Amplified Bible calls it men and women of ability. The King James says, "Men, any man of activity." I like that. Any man of activity. These are people that have over time become polished arrows. They are people that have become polished arrows, polished shafts, hidden in God's quiver. These are people that have developed skills. These are people that have taken advantage of opportunities given unto them. These are people that have put their hand to the plow. They've labored, they've walked. Yeah, we are all covered in the covenant. But God can bless you more. In addition to the blessing of the covenant, he can bless you more based on the activity of your hands. Do you know the Bible says, one of the promises in the word, tell them that he says, the Lord will bless and he will prosper the work of their hands. There is a place for diligence. I know I told you earlier, you know, divine provision is not an event, it's a journey. And it's not based on a formula, it's based on relationship. And it involves things like, and we talked about a few things, faithfulness, diligence, generosity, faith, wisdom, and on like that, trust and things like that. Well, God can bless you more if you're a man or woman of activity. What does that mean? If you have put your hands to the plow and you've allowed the Lord to make you a polished arrow, you have allowed yourself to be trained. You have developed skills. Now, this happens over time on your journey. This happens over time on your journey. You know, I don't want to get distracted. Holy Spirit, I thank you because you are helping us here. And I know that you're going to help us. You're going to help us get everything that you have for us. And you are going to help us get the best of everything that you've already declared and that you've already prepared. Do you know that there are skills that the Lord wants to use to bring an overflow into the lives of his people? This is why long before needs show up, God commands provision and he walks with us. He takes us step by step and walks with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm trying to get something out here. I believe the Lord is trying to get something out here. I'm going to come right back to my text because I know I don't want to get distracted and my time is going. But I've got to say this. Do you know Joseph himself was a man of skill? How did he develop his skill? He went to the school of the Holy Spirit. He developed the skill of wisdom. He developed the skill of interpretation of dreams. Do you know Joseph would not be in this position today if he had not been groomed by the Lord in the skill of interpretation of dreams and visions? That's part of why Joseph is in this position today. Do you know, as we walk with the Lord, in addition to the general covenant that we are all covered in, where the Lord provides for us, do you know that God actually has skills that he wants to direct each of us to learn, to acquire on our journey? Some of these skills we get through formal education. And I hope certainly if there's a young person listening, that's basic. I hope certainly you get all the education you need to get. But beyond that education, there are people who are educated and who are sleeping under the bridge, homeless. But beyond that education, the Lord wants to put skills into our lives, but he wants to direct us. Every skill and every activity is not for every believer. But each of us, as we walk with the Lord, he wants to develop, he wants to groom us, he wants to, and all he's asking of us is diligence, faithfulness. Do you know sometimes even with the jobs we are assigned, the things that we're doing, they may not really sound glamorous. The Lord is having me pause here. He's having me give more time here than I plan to. Some of the stuff we do may not be glamorous. Some of us may even kick at our paycheck. You know, like I said several years ago, some people get their paycheck and they say, "Mana, what is this?" what is this? It's like, what's this? And a lot of times, believers don't realize the Lord is grooming them. The Lord is grooming them for increase. He's grooming them for overflow. Don't take for granted the channels and the tunnels that the Lord takes you through in your life. There are even people who feel they are stuck in a place in their lives. And yet, all God is doing really is grooming them. They don't know that. He's grooming them. Look at what Pharaoh said to Joseph. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He said, if there are any men of activity, of course, they were all men way back then. They were all brothers. But we know if there were any men or women of activity, the King James calls it, but in the Amplified says, that have ability, make them rulers, put them in charge. Well, sometimes believers want to be in charge, but they don't want to be people of activity. They don't want to put their hands to the plow. They get assigned with some assignment, some responsibility. You know, they're constantly, he's at it. What is this? Manna. What is this? Nothing. People don't have the spirit of faithfulness to put their hands to that plan, be diligent, and do that assignment like that is their life. That's how God grooms us. That's how God grooms us. And at some point in our future, as he walks with us, as we walk with him, he's going to bring us to a place where those skills that we thought were nothing, those skills, those things we were doing when we thought we were stagnated in a season of our lives, glory to God, glory to God. Even as a minister of the word, I remember so many years ago, probably 25 years ago, where I was stuck in a place. Seemed like everybody else was moving on and moving on. Every other minister, every friend of mine seemed to be moving on and moving on. And, you know, but I was almost like stuck, just spinning my wheels. And I remember day after day, I sat around this brown table, big brown table in our ministry office in Kaduna, in Nigeria. And one of the messages that I told you about last week, I put together this series of messages called 419. They were really deep, deep, in-depth revelations that the Lord gave me out of these scriptures that we're reading tonight. Certainly out of Philippians 4:19. Certainly out of the story of Joseph, how the Lord made Joseph the Lord over the storehouse of Egypt, how he made him father to Pharaoh, how he made him ruler in the land of Egypt. And the Lord opened my eyes. He taught me in depth. And yet, in that season of my life, I thought I was spinning my wheels. But I was writing. I have loads of notes, of teaching notes, things that were a revelation to me that I wrote down. And do you know, shortly after that period, after that season, I got into another season where I was just so busy, I did not even have the time to devote that much time to studying as much as I wanted to. And yet all those revelations and all those things that I had written down and all those things that I had learned then became the things that the Lord was having me minister to people about. Amen. Sometimes I'll be running from one event, it will be coming from work on the bus in England, trying to make it to Bible study on Wednesday evening to teach the word. And I didn't have the time during the day, maybe a few minutes here and there, just to take a look, a glance or the other at my notes. And then I get into the service and I'll open it and start teaching. And yet, all of those revelations were given in a season of my life where I thought I was spinning my wheels, I was grinding, doing nothing. So pay attention. That's what the Holy Spirit is having me tell you. Wherever you are in this season of your life, pay attention. Don't look down at where you are. Don't wish you were somewhere else. Don't wish you were somebody else. Don't wish you had somebody else's opportunity. God is making you men and women of activity. God is making you men and women of ability. Pay attention. Be diligent. Be faithful. Glory to God. I got to move on. I hope you got something from that little one there. Amen. He said, if there are people of activity among you, make them rulers. Verse 7, and Joseph brought in Jacob his father. Now, this is one of the things I've got to say to you really strongly here. This is so powerful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Look at Genesis 47 and verse 7. Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. I want you to look at the next phrase. Actually, if you can, if you have the King James Version of the Bible, read that next phrase with me. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Let's read those words again. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. You may think you are reading this wrong. You may think you are not seeing what you are actually seeing, but you are seeing what you are seeing. Right? Look at that verse again. Joseph brought in Jacob his father, the broke man from Canaan. The broke man from Canaan who just arrived in Egypt was being taken to Goshen. This broke man from Egypt, the Bible says, Joseph brought him before Pharaoh, the king, the wealthy king, of Egypt, the overall ruler of Egypt, and the broke man from Canaan blessed the wealthy king of Egypt. Hallelujah. 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 I'm sorry if that sound got distorted for a minute. I just got really excited in my spirit. Are you seeing this? The broke man from Canaan, but he was a covenant man. The broke man from Canaan, who was the covenant man, the man walking in covenant with Jehovah God. This broke man came before the king of Egypt, the wealthiest man in the world, and he blessed him. He blessed him. See, provision and prosperity is not based on how much money you have. It's not based on how much money you don't have. Jacob, to all intents and purposes, was broke, but he was blessed. Do you know what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22? Let's read it together. Let's read it. Now, actually, hold on. Hold your place. Don't go there. Don't be in a hurry. Before you go there, let's read the other verses here. And then we'll go read Proverbs 10 and 22. Let's read these other verses. So you've seen verse 7. In verse 7, it says, and Joseph brought in Jacob his father, and he set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. You saw that, right? Jacob, the broke man, but the covenant man. He's the broke man, but he's the covenant man. So it is the covenant that matters. It is the covenant that counts. You may feel broke right now. You may feel like you don't have all your needs met right now. To all intents and purposes, you may not appear well supplied compared to some people on your street. You may appear like the broke person. But I'm telling you tonight, on the authority of the word of God, the broke man and the broke woman, if they are in covenant with Jehovah God, they are the blessed ones. And the Bible tells us, the greater is the one that blesses the less. The lesser is blessed of the greater. Meaning, all the wealth that Pharaoh had access to could not be compared to the blessing covenant that Jacob had access to. I pray this revelation keeps you up tonight. I pray it keeps you up tonight. Amen. Amen. All the wealth. See, because all that wealth is just paper to all intents and purposes. You see, even in the land of Egypt, there was a time when money failed. I got to say this to you. In every life, on this earth, there is a time coming when money is going to fail. In every life on this earth, if it doesn't happen to you, it's coming. There's a time coming when the money saved up, even though that's good, is put there, but that money saved up still cannot deliver the miracle that is needed. There is a time coming when whether you have it or you don't does not really matter. What matters is the covenant with Jehovah God. That covenant is the ark. That covenant is the provision. That covenant is the bubble. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I'm so excited. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are blessed. I say you are blessed. I don't care how much you have in your wallet, you are blessed. I don't care how much you have in your bank account, you are blessed. I don't care what kind of car you drive, you are blessed. If you are walking in covenant relationship with Jehovah God, Even if you don't know where your next meal is coming from, you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. And you are blessed. The blessing covenant puts you above every wealth and every riches that is upon this earth. Oh, man. Oh, my. Hallelujah. 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 Let's read on here. Let's read on. My time is almost going here. Let's read on. That's verse 7. Verse 7. Joseph brought in Jacob, his father. And he set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Read further with me. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, see, the man got a blessing. He's going to do it one more time. Jacob is going to bless him one more time. But the man got a blessing from this broke man who just came from Canaan. And with all the wealth, with all the riches that Pharaoh had at his disposal, he knew there's something that this broke man from Canaan has that I don't have in my life. Pharaoh said to him, to Jacob, how old are you? Verse 9, and Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of my years, have the days of the years of my life been. And have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. That's Old Testament speak now. You know, that's how they talk in the Old Testament. You ask him, how old are you? Just, you know, but, you know, in the Old Testament, they have to talk this. You have to tell him, first, I'm 130, but this 130 is not really as much as my father lived. Not as much as my grandfather. Pharaoh didn't really ask him that, but that's Old Testament speak. That's how they spoke way back then. Now, I want you to look at the next verse 10. And after Jacob answered Pharaoh and told him how old he was, he blessed him again. He said in verse 10, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh, and he went out from before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh, and he went out before the broke man from Canaan, the covenant man. He blessed the king of Egypt. Because the blessing is greater. The blessing is superabundantly above every earthly riches. Let me say that again. The blessing covenant is greater. It is superabundantly above every earthly riches. Yes, it is. That blessing covenant puts you in a good place, my friends. This blessing covenant guarantees your future, my friends. This blessing covenant guarantees that your life will keep getting better, and it will keep getting better, and it will keep getting better. This blessing covenant, my friend, guarantees that even when money fails in the land, even when everything fails in the land, you will keep rising. You will never go under. This blessing covenant guarantees that the Lord will make a way for you where there is no way. This blessing covenant guarantees that favor will abide upon your life. People will remember you in the night season. This blessing covenant guarantees that even if something is taken away from you, double will be returned to you. Double will be returned to you. This blessing covenant guarantees your life is getting better. You will enjoy the best of the land. You will live in the best of the land. You will lay hold of the promises, the provisions, the superabundant prospect. Help me, Lord. I can't speak English anymore. Yeah, I'm in that zone right now. His blessing covenant guarantees that, my brothers and my sisters. This blessing covenant guarantees your children will be taken care of. Even when you are gone from here, this blessing covenant guarantees the same God of the palace, the same God of the prison, that same good shepherd, he will walk with you. He will carry you all the way to the end of your journey. And when that is done, he will transfer and translate the generational blessings to those that are coming before you. That's the same God. That's the same covenant. That blessing covenant. Oh, hallelujah. Take a minute here. Just thank God. Just bless us. Thank you, Father, for your blessing covenant. Thank you, God, even in the midst of the pandemic, your blessing covenant is working. Thank you, God, even in hard times, your blessing covenant is working. Thank you, whether it's famine or recession or depression or whatever it is, your blessing covenant is working. Your blessing covenant is working. Your blessing covenant is working. Woo! Hallelujah. Think about that. The broke man from Canaan bless the king of Egypt. The richest man on earth. The broke man from Canaan blessed the richest man on earth. Why? Because he had the blessing covenant. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Woo-wee. Let's read verse 11. Let's try to close this about 5 minutes. Verse 11, and Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land. Say that with me, in the best of the land. Say it one more time, in the best of the land. That's what God has for you. In the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph, look at verse 12, Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. All right, let's do this real quick. Real quick. Go down to verse 15. Go down to verse 15. Are you there? Look at it. And when money failed in the land of Egypt. Let's read that together again. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all over the world. It wasn't just in Egypt. All over the world, money failed. All the Egyptians came unto Joseph and they said, give us bread. Give us bread. See, money failed, but there was bread. Money failed, but there was bread. Do you know there's always bread in the land? There's always bread in the land. There's always provision, my friend. Money may have failed, but there's always provision. That's why we need to walk in the blessing covenant. We need to walk in the blessing covenant. Because when the money fails, El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, will direct you to where the bread is. There's always bread in the land, my friends. There's always bread. When the brook dried up and Elijah didn't know what to do, in 1 Kings chapter 17, the Bible says God said to him, arise and go on to Zarephath. There's bread in Zarephath. There's bread in Zarephath. There's always bread in the land, my friends. There's always bread in the land, my friends. We just don't know where it is. A lot of times, we just don't know. At the same time, when people are saying, oh, we're dying, oh, there's nothing, nobody has anything, we're broke, we're poor, we don't have anything, we don't have. At that same time, some people are living in abundance. On the same earth, there's always bread. The Bible says when money failed in the land, at some point or the other, money will fail in every life. In every life. That's why we've got to be living in the blessing covenant. We've got to be living in the blessing covenant. Let's go quickly and read Proverbs chapter 10:22. My time is almost gone here. Proverbs 10:22. Let's read what it says. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow. Proverbs chapter 10. Verse 22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. The blessing of the Lord. Do you know when you are blessed, that blessing comes with abundance? It comes with blessing. It comes with happiness. It comes with joy. It comes with peace. It comes with everything good. That's why Pharaoh recognized something different in the life of the broke man from Canaan. Because Pharaoh had all these riches, but he didn't have the blessing. And the Bible says Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Do you know the blessing of the Lord gives you a complete life? The blessing of the Lord makes you like a spring of water that can never run dry. The blessing of the Lord, The blessing of the Lord, he makes rich and he has no sorrow. The blessing of the Lord, he brings blessings into your life. He brings increase. He brings wealth. He brings provision into your life that you don't have to hoard. You don't have to hide. There's so many believers hoarding. It's one of the disasters in the lives of believers who don't understand covenant. Hoarding. They throw away the spirit of generosity, throw away giving, throw away tithing, forget about giving, forget. Then we've got to hoard it. We've got to, because we don't know when this may run out. Well, if you are preparing for it to run out, it will run out. It will surely run out. I learned that too a long time ago. That's why sometimes there are prayers you pray for people. When prayer points are sent, sometimes you send prayer points, you pray those prayers, and those prayers don't get answered. Because seeds have been sown for years as people have walked their journey, and they have constantly contradicted and constantly broken the law of God's provision. So when the time comes later in life and they desperately send you a prayer point, and you are praying aggressively, you are praying with fasting for provision, provision can come. Provision can come. Because now they want the event, they want the blessing, but they have, if I had my English people here, they will help me. What I'm looking for, a word here. They have totally ignored and totally walked contrary to the law of divine provision over the years. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow. I call you blessed tonight, folks. My brothers and my sisters, I call you blessed tonight as we close. Why don't you lift up your hands and thank God for the blessing covenant? Thank God that you are blessed. You are blessed going out and you are blessed coming in. You are blessed, you are blessed, you are blessed. Everything you lay your hands upon will be blessed. Everything you lay your hands upon will prosper. The Lord will cause the heavens to be opened over you. The Lord will increase. The Lord will bless you and your family, you and your loved ones, everyone connected with you in covenant, in the name of Jesus. Thank him for his blessing covenant. We give you praise tonight for your word. We thank you, God, for meeting with us. Thank you for revelation knowledge that has flown freely. Thank you, Father God, for opening our eyes to see. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us, God, the depths of your word. Lord, raw revelation. Thank you for pouring them upon us today. Thank you for helping us, opening our eyes and causing illumination to come into our lives. I give you praise, God. I give you praise. Let this word produce in the lives of your people. Let this word move them up. Let him move them forward. Let him take them higher in the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory, Father. We give you all the praise. Thank you, precious Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen.